Happy Easter, and let's begin in prayer. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for this gorgeous Sunday morning, and we know, Lord, that this is a special day, as every Sunday is. We pray for God the Holy Spirit to be upon this gathering, a spiritual gathering, Lord, that we cannot be physically present with each other, but we know that our hearts are unified and that our spirits are unified as we find our identity in Christ, part of the body of Christ. So we lift up all that happens this time together, and we just ask that you bless and that the Spirit would move in people's hearts on this special day. All right. I think we have, we have a special news update. Let me check in with our field correspondent. And here we go.
Good morning, and welcome to Jerusalem's breaking news. The first day of the week, this Sunday morning. You can see behind me that it's a much different scene than I shared with you on Friday. The crowds have disappeared from Calvary, and all that remains are the three empty crosses where they had crucified the three criminals. There's a special guest with us this morning who claims to be an eyewitness to many of the happenings that happened here on Mount Calvary. Good morning, and what is your name?
Mary Magdalene.
Oh, so you're from Magdala?
Yes, that is where I lived until a couple of years ago.
So what has brought you to Jerusalem?
Well, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Do you mean the criminal that was on the center cross this last Friday?
Yes, the Lord Jesus was crucified on that center cross, but he was not the criminal. As even the centurion realized, Jesus is the Son of God.
You were a witness to what happened here?
Well, sure. Many of the women disciples of Jesus were here watching from a distance. We stood together over there, and we had followed him from Galilee to care for his needs. Jesus' mother, Mary, was part of the group, John and James' mother, and many others.
Well, how did you come to know Jesus?
Well, Jesus was traveling about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. I was one of them. And he cast 7 demons for me. Also, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support Jesus and his followers out of their own means.
Well, you must have been very grateful to Jesus. Is that why you were following him?
Well, yes, at first. The longer we followed him, the more evident it was that God the Father was working through him. He was doing many miraculous things. He fed the 5,000 by multiplying the loaves and fishes. He healed lepers and the lame. And Jesus gave sight to the blind and much more. His teaching was with an authority like no other.
Wait now. You call God your Father too, just like Jesus did. Is this very strange for a Jew?
Jesus taught us to pray to our Father. Because of our belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, we have the privileged relationship as sons and daughters of the Father.
Okay, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. Let's just stick to the facts for now. Did you see Jesus die on Friday?
Well, we heard him cry out, "It is finished." And then his head fell to his chest. When the Roman soldiers came from Pilate, they broke the legs of the criminals on both sides of Jesus so that they would die more quickly. They did not break Jesus' legs because he was already dead. They did not break Jesus' legs because he was already dead. To make sure, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear. Blood and water flowed out of his side. I thought his mother was going to faint. It was a terrible sight to behold.
So, what happened next?
Well, the crowd slowly drifted away. Many of them were shaking their heads and mumbling. They had seen the darkness. They had felt the ground shake. No one seemed to know what to think.
Did you women hang around?
Yes, we couldn't believe what happened. Then as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. He told us he had gone to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph was accompanied by Nicodemus, the Pharisee who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with our burial customs. At the place, right over there, is a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. They rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Many of us women saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. But we rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandments.
Well, my sources tell me that yesterday the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that's the deceiver, they called Jesus the deceiver, after 3 days I will rise again," he said. So they gave the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first. "Take a guard," Pilate said. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by posting a seal all the way around the stone to secure it, and then posting the guard. Did you see any signs of the Roman guards?
Well, not on the Sabbath, but early this very morning we did.
You were at the tomb this morning? Why?
When the Sabbath was over, several of us brought spices so that we might go to anoint Jesus' body more properly. Joseph and Nicodemus had to hurry so much that we didn't feel Jesus' body was properly anointed. Very early this morning, just after sunrise, we were on our way to the tomb and we asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?"
Who did roll the stone away?
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to us, "Women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Then go quickly. And he said, "Come and see the place where he lay. But go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Yes, there was another report this morning of an earthquake, but you saw an angel? You saw Jesus alive?
Yes, we all saw the angel. We saw that Jesus is alive.
Well, isn't that kind of strange that women are witnesses? After all, women are not allowed to be in court.
Well, maybe it is strange, but the Lord always treated us differently than other men treat us. We saw what we saw. Jesus is alive.
Are there any men that witnessed this Jesus raised from the dead?
As Jesus told me to, I ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and told them that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Before I could say any more, Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth and around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed that Jesus was not there, but did not realize that he was alive.
So as of now, no men have verified your story.
It is not a story. It is my testimony. I saw the Lord Jesus. He has risen. He is alive.
Well, there you have it, folks. An eyewitness account. The empty grave can be verified, but as of right now, all we have is the testimony of women. I will keep you updated as developments unfold.
Well, there you have it. The testimony of women. I think that there's going to be more information for us later on in our broadcast here. So I encourage you to stay tuned. We don't know what exciting developments will happen next. Okay, so this is Easter Sunday, and we do have a report that Jesus has risen from the dead. Many of the women have testified to this, and we have verified that the grave, the tomb, is empty. And we do celebrate that. And we are believers in the empty tomb and the risen Christ. Now I'm going to share some music that I've downloaded. There's words that you can sing along with. And hopefully the volume will be sufficient. If you can't hear, I'm trying not to make it be too tinny. You can put something in the comments about the volume if necessary.
Thank you.
So again, welcome if you're just joining us here at Emmaus. And there's a prayer on the screen. And then I think we'll pray this together. And then we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we, who celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection, may, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm getting a report that there's been a further development. It seems that this morning, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, You are to say, Jesus' disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is being widely circulated throughout Jerusalem. Now, here's my opinion on this matter. The Roman soldiers were experts at crucifixion. They regularly performed this cruel means of death. They knew dead when they saw dead. Even without their expertise, when you stick your spear into a man's side and the water and blood pours out, it proves they are dead. Besides, by all accounts, the flogging and physical punishment, they're enough to kill any man. Then to have to carry your cross up the hill, even with help, would be nearly impossible. The way crucifixion kills you is not by the nails driven through your hands or through your feet, or the respective loss of blood from those wounds. Your body weight hanging on the cross makes breathing too hard to sustain life. There was no doubt that Jesus was dead. The Roman soldiers were experts also at standing guard. This is what they did routinely. And yet, it was very serious business. If a prisoner escaped, you could be forced to take their punishment, even the death penalty. They were professionals, and guarding was a daily duty. They kept watch over a camp. They kept watch over their leaders. They would keep watch over a city. Certainly, they could be trusted to guard a dead man behind a large sealed tomb. What could go wrong? A risen Jesus was a big problem for the Jewish leaders. Over and over again, they had publicly denied that Jesus was the Messiah. In fact, any Jew that said Jesus was the Christ would be cast out of the synagogue and the Jewish community. They would be shunned. They would be a pariah. Then there was this whole matter of them having engineered an illegal arrest and holding a mock trial in the middle of the night. And then they partnered with the Roman authorities. They manipulated the Roman authorities to have Jesus crucified. If Jesus was in fact raised from the dead, their whole reality came crashing down. Their positions of power and prestige would have been lost. That meant that they had horribly misjudged Jesus, had horribly misunderstood the scriptures. They had misrepresented Jesus' miracles and stubbornly refused to hear his teaching when others easily saw its truth and power. It had to be Jesus' disciples that had stolen the body. They had to find Jesus' body. They had to get things back under control. So far, it was only some women saying they saw Jesus raised from the dead. Time was of the essence. They had to find the body. Yes, it matters a great deal whether Jesus was truly resurrected. It matters to the Romans. It mattered to the Jewish authorities. It mattered to Jesus' disciples. It matters to the whole world. And yes, it matters to you and to me. It matters eternally. Amen.
All fear is gone.
He lives. What a great truth for us. I hope that doesn't scare you being so big. So, this is an unusual Easter for us. We aren't assembled physically in one place, but the fact of the matter is the body of Christ is never all assembled in one particular place, because the body of Christ is all the churches. So we are called to gather, and I look forward to doing that again very soon. But the most important thing is that we are in union with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. In what's called his farewell discourse in the book of John, the night before he was crucified, he emphasized the importance of our unity with him, his unity with the Father, and the unity of all of us together for those that are in Christ. So that is a truth that we hold on to, that we cling to. It defines how we live, and that we do not live like others live. We do not grieve like others grieve. We understand death differently, that death has been conquered. The grave has been conquered. The Lord Jesus was resurrected, and we shall be too. In a little while, about noon today, I know our community, and I've been told across the nation that the churches are going to be ringing bells and making announcements over their loudspeaker system. They don't have bells, but we're going to be recognizing the importance of Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the importance of the church, the body of Christ, across the nation. So I'll be here to ring that bell at 12 noon today. And I told one of the organizers that we'd be overjoyed to share the message of Easter. And that message is that Jesus Christ lives today, and that makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate this day when so many things around us are negative and discouraging, and people are sick and mourning. We grieve with them. We are to be a people of comfort. You tell us that you are a God of comfort, and that we are to comfort others as we have been comforted by you. So we will do that. We will be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily walk, in our homes, in our families, in our work, and in our communities, Lord, as we reach out to others, as we feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Lord, let us set people free through the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in fact does live today, who sits at your right hand, who advocates for us, who will come again. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I pray all this in his precious, loving, beautiful name, wonderful name, wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this afternoon here at noon, I encourage you to pause and pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be celebrated in every home. Listen for those bells. Be blessed. Amen.